Hey, y'all, it's Valentine's Day week, whether you like it or not, and we are here to tell you about a couple of our favorite couples, lovers, sex toys, the ultimate sex toys for couples and lovers, and they are by WeVibe. We love the Moxie, we love the Chorus, and we love the WeVibe Sync. We can't get enough of it.
And they're offering you, our beautiful Shameless Sex listeners, a special 5% discount and any WeVibe toy. Just use promo code Shameless at we-vibe.com. That's again, code Shameless at we-vibe.com. All right, y'all, it's back to the show.
I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back to the Shameless Sex Podcast. This episode's spicy.
It is. What number are we even on?
5,235,000. I don't know. It's like 145 or something like that.
Do you remember when I reached out to you after I listened to that podcast where the co-host, it was a drug podcast about recovering drug addicts.
Uh-huh.
And the co-host died. And I was like, oh my God, Amy, I got sad.
Because you're like, no, I have a die on me chip.
I know. I was like, I just got really choked up and wanted to send you an I love you message.
You got me a Just Because present today.
I actually wasn't listening to the drug podcast. It was on, what is it? This American Life.
Oh.
It was on their show. They were talking about this podcast. So
you
anyway.
And I are going to die on the same day, I think.
I hope so.
Hopefully not in a plane crash anytime soon. But
and yeah,
we're going
to at least have another like 50 to 75 years on the planet unless they come up with the
75.
How old would we be?
Old. I'm going to be over 100.
Yeah. If I have to wipe your ass, we're done.
We're going to die together. All right. That's not what this podcast is about, though, everyone. It is about erotic touch techniques. What techniques? What is erotic touch? How is this different from just regular old touch? We also talk about the A spot. Yeah, the A. There's another spot. There's a G spot. There's an A spot.
It's like a mystery spot.
Oh, the mystery spot. We went there for my birthday last year.
Is that last year? 2 years ago?
2 years ago, because last year... No, I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to get on the angry. Never mind. Anyways, so you want to stay tuned for this episode. It's extra saucy.
It's actually really beautiful. Yeah. And our guest was just phenomenal coming to us from Bali. Yep. She's beautiful. She's got some great info to share.
Yep.
I learned some things.
I always learn some things. I don't know everything. But here's some things I do know about that I know about. How to pleasure a penis.
L penis, is that right?
And a penis. I don't know about L penis.
Oh, I thought you said L penis.
L penis. And I am teaching, if you live anywhere in or around Dallas, or maybe you want to fly into Dallas at the end of this month, this is February when this podcast is coming out. I'm teaching Friday, February 28th at Sarah's Secret. I'm teaching Her Pleasure 101. I know I said penis. I'm actually teaching two classes. So Her Pleasure 101 is Friday, February 28th. And His Pleasure 101 is Sunday, March 1st. This is 2020 in Dallas, Texas at Sarah's Secret. To learn more, go to sarahssecret.com. That's S-A-R-A-S-S-E-C-R-E-T.
It's Sarah without an H.
.com.
Secret.com.
Yes. Go there and learn from me, and you can meet me in person. And if you ask me, I might even give you a hug.
Are you flying on your birthday?
The day after my birthday.
I know, but you aren't flying
after.
On your, okay.
Yeah, my birthday is February 27th.
I know. I didn't know if you had to leave on the day before
no,
to get there.
I'm not leaving. I'm leaving early in the morning, though. You can bring me birthday presents, everyone, in the form of...
Dallas.
No dildos, please. I'm good on that.
You're like, I have enough.
I have plenty of those.
Let's give a shout out to Tatum Photo.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not following us on Instagram, check our Instagram out. We worked with these amazing photographers that were actually fans of the podcast, and we needed some creative help because we had pictures taken in the past, and we wanted some additional options. So they reached out to us, and we're amazing.
It was so incredible.
The photo session was not only fun, but I've never felt more beautiful.
They were good. That was one of our hard things for photo sessions, right? Where we are like, we need directions. We're not models. Like, I don't know what to do. And they give you so much wonderful direction. It's a couple. So they're really sweet. It felt really safe, you know, and it's like, it's a boudoir shoot. So we were in some sexy clothing laundry, but they really want you to go. It's like a storytelling piece. And they really want you to go with who you authentically are. And they're so good at just everything they do. And we're announcing this right now also because V-Day, Valentine's Day, is coming up when this comes out. It's actually coming out 3 days later is Valentine's Day. But it's never, if you don't have time to book it with them, then you can do a late Valentine's Day gift for your lover, and or maybe just for you because you're like, I look fucking hot and I want to see myself.
I've taken another round of boudoir photos before back, I don't know.
When you were married?
8 years ago, and it was not nearly as easy, flowing, and chill as this one was.
Yeah, it was
and
really good.
It was beautiful. They have
a
gift.
We have some hot photos.
Yes.
Some hot ones. So go to our Instagram, too, to check it out. And you can learn more about them. Go to Tatum Photo. That's TADAMphoto.com to learn more. Or go to our Instagram at Shameless Sex. Follow us if you're not. And you can see some sexy photos of us.
I've been calling them Tadam.
Or I've been saying Tatum.
Yes.
It's Tatum.
We had to verify that with them.
Tomato, tomato?
Yes. I was like, it's not Tadam. Tadam.
I like the way you're saying it. Yours is fun.
Tadam.
And I just got back from the Caribbean, everyone.
I know you're all bronzed.
Hey, I'm bronzed.
Looking bronzed up.
I was there with my partner.
Now, is he called your partner now?
We were I actually said boyfriend a couple times. It was like so
natural.
2008 for me, and which is it's not like an issue. It's just that the reason why I use partner is to be an ally of all orientations and genders, etc. in their partnerships. And also we use very inclusive language, which actually we're going to read a testimonial from someone talking about inclusive language. Actually, I'll read that next. Trying to, you know, we don't say husband and wife and things like that because that doesn't speak to everyone. So that's why I usually say partner.
Although we did receive some negative feedback about someone that said we're too woke.
Yeah, we too woke.
And we get too caught up in the possible cultural appropriations. Uh-huh. And I was pretty bummed by that. I was like, really?
We got two of those comments, actually.
I know. And I don't understand why. And he actually referred to the sitting Indian style comment as not being one that he thought needed addressing.
I don't know. Go talk to some Native American folks and see how they feel about it.
I was kind of put off by that. Anyway, yeah. I love the feedback that people are appreciating our language and our thoughtful execution of what we believe is inclusive.
I mean, my stance honestly is that if someone says, hey, you know, that actually really offends me and here's why, I'm going to listen to them, do my best to try better to respect them. And I know I can't necessarily respect everyone. Like, you know, the folks are like, hey, you're too woke, this is annoying. You know, I hear you. We're going to give you a voice because we actually have expressed that on here, and we kind of have a policy here of how we want to respect all people as much as possible by being inclusive as possible. So, with that said, here's a testimonial from someone who's giving us praise for being inclusive. Hey, you guys! I'm a 23-year-old transgender man from Salt Lake, Utah. Salt Lake City. I love Salt Lake City. I listen to your podcast every week and I love it. You guys have taught me a lot and have helped me work through some shame and trauma. I very much appreciate you guys making an effort to be inclusive to all genders and all types of people. Whoever complains about that can fuck off.
Perfect.
Their words, not ours. I also appreciate that you guys revisited some things that were said on the episode with Tripp. I couldn't finish the episode because of some of the things he was saying. I think you guys are educating and a lot of people in the world definitely need it. Please keep doing what you are doing. And I hope to meet you guys one day in Salt Lake, which we're actually going to Salt Lake City at the end of April.
Yes, we are.
I emailed this person back.
Oh, I'm stoked.
I think
Thank
it's like
you.
April 24th or 25th, 2020. We're teaching a workshop. Is it anal? Or what are we doing? We're doing something out there.
At
Blue Boutique.
Right. Only one night. We'll do an announcement when it gets a little closer. The funny piece of this that came up for me, thank you to this listener that sent this testimonial. But the funny thing that came up for me was that negative testimonial
about
the review on iTunes. He gave us one star. Rumpel Foreskin was his name.
That's awesome. I love you, Rumpelstiltskin. You're probably not listening anymore.
I don't think he's listening anymore. But it was also about the episode with Trip and how we were getting...
Oh, they thought we were shaming.
They thought we were shaming him for saying girls instead of woman, but we weren't shaming, in my opinion. I thought we were just getting clarification.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted clarification. So I'm happy to hear that there are... And I love why we're so in this... We're in this realm of podcasting, and it's free. It is free speech to me because we are all talking how we want to. And I really appreciate all the sides of the spectrum and, yeah. and folks that are,
we
sort
can't
of,
please every no. single person. You know,
sorry, Rumpelstiltskin. We didn't.
That is such a great name. I mean, I would give Rumpelstiltskin a big hug if they let me. Okay. Oh, we have, so here's another testimony.
I like this. Uh-huh. We're doing a testimonial and they also kind of tie into yeah. other,
it's
other
from
pieces.
The people.
It's from the people. A couple of weeks ago, I listened to How to Be an Empowered Submissive. I've talked to my partner about being interested in trying dominant submissive play before. My partner is a very assertive and I've found myself enjoying when she would tell or ask me to do something, clean something, make her tea, or anything. When Veronica Yawns talked about it, I was like, I can identify with being a submissive servant. Then I was like, OMG, I identify as a submissive servant. Just thinking about it in my head, I felt relief and acceptance. It took me a few days, but I finally talked to my partner about it. She not only accepted me and my feelings, but jumped right in with me. I've had a couple of weeks of trying things, and it's been both fun and fulfilling. I'm pretty sure I have the best partner ever.
Yeah.
Thanks again for all the two of you do.
Ooh, I love that. I love that one. I don't know the number of that episode, but it actually said the title, right? It's How to Be an Empowered Submissive, right? And with Veronica Yawns. And it was awesome. It was inspiring, and it was really cool to see here this person being inspired by it. And I love that aha moment of like, I can be this. Wait, I am this.
Yes. That's such a great transition. Yeah. And just to kind of feel into, oh, wait, I can do that. Yeah. No, you are doing it.
And there's something powerful about when you add a new flavor to how you identify, you know, maybe, and this might not be permanent. Maybe in a year you'd be like, I'm now a dominant, you know, and that's fine because yeah. it's fluid, right? We're constantly shifting. But I felt that when I found a new identity that I identify with, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Like, oh, light bulb, yeah. clarity. So
it's
cool.
True.
We love that. Thank you, listeners. We love receiving any testimonials. We read everything. We receive so many sex questions. We can't answer all of them. We try our best, but we love sharing this. And we have a couple more that we're going to share. But first, before I share that, I want to share something about something called Dipsy that April and I absolutely love. My clients in my sex and relationship coaching practice love it. Our listeners love it. It is an app on your phone when you can listen to short erotic stories. It has little fire signs that tell you how spicy it is. And it's anything from stories for couples, BDSM stories, you know, queer stories, straight stories, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's great for folks who are like, I want to get my turn on, and I want it because we are, you know, we are auditory people, we're visual people, and you can listen to it anywhere, anytime, and get into your inner turn on for yourself or for someone else.
I love all the different options they have as well. I recently, I think two nights ago, listened to the Out of the Office episode. And it was so great. And it was unexpected because the coworker in the story had this amazing British accent.
Oh,
and he was like, do you want to go with me on a trip? And she was like, I don't know. And then it got really hot and spicy. And I have a complete obsession with
accents.
Office.
Yeah.
Offices and accents. So yeah. I love Dipsy for all of these reasons. And guess what? Our listeners of this beautiful Shameless Sex podcast get Dipsy for 30 days free. When you go to dipsystories.com/shameless, you get 30 days free, y'all. That's dipseastories.com/shameless.
Go check it out.
Check it out. Why not?
It's hot. Okay. And then, by the way, it's designed by women for women. I think anyone can get off to it, though. I mean, anyone can be turned on by it.
Well, my partner and I have listened together, and he also enjoys it for sure.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different options.
And they
so
put
many.
Out like new stories every week.
They
okay.
Do.
Anyways.
Sorry, we got off track.
We love it. Okay. So we're going to share some listener feedback. This is awesome because we get emails from listeners who hear an episode and we answer a sex question, and then they write us their own advice. So I love this. I love when when you all get involved in being little sex educators. So please keep doing this and we'll try to share some of them.
This was about just a random experience that I had that I randomly busted out.
This isn't even about sex.
No, but I love it because I was just an experience. So I'm stoked on this.
So this has nothing to do with sex. We talked about chemtrails in an episode. And so listeners, and then we actually said, hey, listeners, let us know what you think about chemtrails. Are they real? This listener says, after listening to your latest episode, I just want to write and let you know that chemtrails aren't real. It's a conspiracy theory and nothing more. Commercial airliners are not spraying chemicals as part of the governmental program. Contrails are made by the water vapor of extremely hot exhaust of jet engines freezing as they exit the engine into sub-zero temperatures of the atmosphere at 30,000 plus feet. What we see as white clouds behind the plane are the small ice crystals lingering in the air. Thank you, listener. Thank you.
Chemtrails.
Now we're going to get 5 emails. People are like, chemtrails are real.
I know. Mm-hmm. I just listened to a podcast about conspiracy theories, and it's funny what's out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I like anything.
Not funny, haha. Funny, like,
it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, anything's possible. What if chemtrails were really ways to get everyone turned on?
You know, there's people that think the Holocaust wasn't real.
Yeah. Oh my God. The lady, have you seen the lady that's like in 80 or 90 and she's like, it gets in front of people and does this public speaking thing saying it's all a lie. I think she's been arrested multiple times.
Really?
Anyways.
There's people that think school shootings are a lie. Fabrication of the U.S. government.
Is it gun lovers?
Uh-huh.
Sorry, gun lovers.
I know. Well, we won't get into it. This is not a political podcast. We are about sexuality and not about chemtrails. However, I love learning. So learning is...
Because knowledge is power?
Yes. Learning is power. Yes, that's true.
Because knowledge is power. Power. Okay. Another one.
This is one more. This is a good one. So some feedback. I had a couple thoughts when listening to episode number 142 and hope it can be helpful to someone. Number one. I, like April, have struggled with removal of menstrual cups in the past. I recently switched to a reusable menstrual disc, which has been life-changing. I use the Ziggy cup, and I love it. The shape and the fact that it sits close to the vaginal opening makes it easy to remove, and I highly recommend it for anyone who has had issues with menstrual cups. Also, to your guest who asked about her boyfriend who enjoys wearing lingerie, I recommend she listen to the podcast Death, Sex, and Money, specifically an episode called 50 Years Married to a Man Named Sissy, which is an interview with a couple where the man in the relationship dresses in a way that is traditionally considered feminine. The episode is about his identity, how he sees his sexuality, and gives a good perspective into what it means for him to dress a certain way and to express himself with his image. That's pretty awesome. And I'm going to Google the Ziggy Cup because I've never heard of that and I'm willing to try it. I'm just crossing my fingers that I don't need to have another
surgical situation. I'll dig in your
You have
badge.
Longer fingers than I.
Yeah, I'll trim
than
my
do,
nails
right?
just for you.
Yeah, yeah, you do. See, you might be able to reach in there. I don't have that deep of a vaginal canal.
Even when
it's
you
just
bear
my fingers
down,
are,
and you're like,
all of it. No, it suctions. You can't get it. You've got to break the suction.
I can get it.
All right. Well, I'll try the Ziggy cup and the Ziggy disc, and I'll let this listener know
if it's a problem.
What happens? Or maybe I'll start crying on the air while having Amy take it out live.
We'll do a live episode of my hands in April's vagina pulling out the Ziggy cup. And then she'll never use a menstrual cup ever again.
I know. Then I'll be totally traumatized.
She has a very special vagina. Okay. I'm going to read the bio for our guest, Christina. Curiosity is Christina's driving force. Being born during the Soviet era, in a conservative household that never spoke about sex unless it was telling adult jokes, gave her an insatiable appetite to dive deep into the world of sexuality. She's been studying sexuality for more than 14 years, and she believes that the secret to the universe, is between our legs. She's traveled to over 60 countries, speaking, giving workshops, and learning from other great teachers. She's on a mission to bring sexuality out of the dark ages, where our sexuality becomes the source of our peace and happiness instead of the source of our shame, guilt, trauma, pain, and anxiety. To learn more, visit confidentlovers.com.
Love that.
Love that. And we're going to dive right in. But first, before we dive in, fun fact, everyone. Many vitamin companies add mystery additives, synthetic fillers, and shady extras that are no good for your body. And your body is your temple. That's why we love Ritual. Ritual Vitamins, they only use traceable, high-quality ingredients so that you know where they came from, exactly what you are putting in your body. April loves Ritual Vitamins.
I do. I've been taking Ritual Vitamins for almost... No, it's been over a year now. Mm-hmm. And I love that Ritual, it's non-GMO, vegan certified, and gluten-free. They're gentle on my stomach. I actually get nauseous all the time from vitamins and not with Ritual. I guess they have this delayed release, no nausea, minty fresh capsules. You smell it and you just are awake. And come on, you know daily changes lead to huge results. So why not just do something simple and change up your vitamins? And Ritual is offering you, Shameless Sex listeners, 10% off your first 3 months. Go to ritual.com/shamelesssex and you get 10% off your first 3 months. Again, ritual.com/shamelesssex to get 10% off your first 3 months. Come on, try Ritual right now. You know you want
to. Right now.
All right. Let's get back to the show.
Here we go. All right, everyone, it is episode time. We have a spicy topic for you, erotic touch. Ooh, who doesn't want that? We'll also talk about the A-spot. Some people will be like, what the hell is an A-spot? You want to know what the A-spot is? And we are here with the wonderful Christina, who is teaching the world all about sex. She's actually in Southeast Asia right now. So we are recording from across the world. We're super excited to have you here. Let's just dive in. Will you tell our listeners who already heard your bio, but they want more about they always curious, how do people get to work in the sex education retreat world? How did you get to where you are today?
It's actually a bit of a long story, but I always like to joke and say that from childhood, I felt this amazing part on my body. And I actually started masturbating at a very young age. I remember it as far back as 3. And my mother says that I started when I was 1. And I like to joke and say that I was born with my hand on it. I think this is what I'm destined to do. But it was really in Thailand when I asked a friend of mine who was in his 40s, what is the difference between sex and lovemaking? And he gave me the funniest answer. And he said, I wish you had asked me what the difference was between sales and marketing, because that I can answer. and a little light bulb went on in my head and I started asking so many questions. But at the time it was, how do men learn about sexuality? How come I for a long time didn't have an orgasm during sex? And why did it take me so long to be able to experience that? And what was I not doing? I mean, there were just an array of questions that popped into my head. And how do we learn about sexuality? And then I started doing some online and offline research, and I realized that the two common portals that men would learn about sexuality was actually porn, and at the time, the pickup artist community. Those were so big. And I don't know if they still are, but and I realized, wow, this is the only sexual education that men get. Then I started doing a little digging and I realized that it's not just men, it's actually women as well. We don't know enough about our own bodies. We don't know enough about how to ask for what we want. Yes, we get angry when we get disappointed when a certain lovemaking scenario doesn't pan out or is not, or feels very unsatisfying, and we end up creating this pattern of unsatisfaction. And until someone comes along and makes love to us, where we're like, oh, so this is what sex feels like. And that's when I realized that I'm just going to create a blog and I'm going to teach men all about the fascinating and mysterious female sexual anatomy from a female perspective, because I'm so comfortable in my body and I'm so comfortable to talk about everything sexuality. But I think it's very important for them to have the female lens of what sexuality feels and looks like for us. Then I realized within a year that 50% of my visitors to the blog and to the website were women. And every time I would have conversations with women, they're like, oh, it's such an important work that you're doing. But within our conversations, I realized how much we don't know about our body, about our sexuality or sex in general, including a man's sexuality. I mean, you know, there's this common myth that says, men are very easy when it comes to sexuality, but women are so complicated. And to me, that is such a myth, because it's not true. And I love, like, we also commonly say things like we're all wired differently, but we're not exactly sure what that means or what we're talking about. Like on our body, our muscular structure and our bone structure, for the most part, it's in the same place. But when it comes to our nerve endings, it doesn't matter what gender you are, because that's what we mean when we say we're all wired differently. It's all the ways, the different ways that we feel sensations. And especially for us women, when we go through our cycles, our monthly cycles, our sensations and the type of touch that we crave and all of these things change all the time. And whenever I have these conversations with women, it's something that they've never even, a lot of times they didn't even realize it, they didn't even notice it. And in my own personal experience, it was actually a man who told me that the wetness in my vagina had a different texture after my period than before my period. Mm-hmm. I was completely oblivious to that in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people aren't checking out their own bodies, you know, so they were relying on someone else to, I mean, I was one of them. I was like, I'm going to wait for you to figure my body out before me, or I tried and it just didn't really get it. So I understand that whole thing of having someone else tell you before you know. I think that's really common for you. I mean, a lot of folks have never, I mean, let's talk about penises. You can see it a little bit, it's there, but a lot of vulva owners, they don't take the time to go check it out, you know, with a mirror and see what's happening there. And I know women who won't even put their fingers inside of themselves. Like,
me too. That was such a shock to me. I know women who won't even put a tampon inside their vagina without an applicator. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was such a shock, because how can you experience pleasure or understand the inner workings of your beautiful body if you're not even willing to put your finger inside? That was actually a big shock for me.
And now it's something that you can explore and learn about and be like, hi, this is my vagina. This is my genitals. I love them. Each part of them. I didn't explore my genitals until probably my late 20s. So it's also, I was masturbating at a young age. And I also, I think that this day and age is a beautiful one to be a part of, because just on Netflix, Goop, the Goop Lab. I don't know if you're watching that. Gwyneth Paltrow just did an episode on sexuality, and they had vulvas actually on the episode, and different vulvas, and talking about exploring yourself and a human, a female bodied human coming to orgasm. And I thought it was so transitional that this is where we've come to, and it's 2020 and people are actually finally there, but we still have so far to come. But
that's a long way to go. But thank goodness that the information is getting out there and we're finally starting to talk about this. And the thing is, I actually describe, and sexuality is going to be a movement. It's just not going to, I don't think it's going to be like the late 1960s, because it was more about doing than about learning. And it was more about hooking up and one night stands and freedom and all these things. But I think now instead of that type of sexuality, I think a lot of us are craving depth. And this is where a lot of the information comes in, a lot of the connection comes in, a lot of like spirituality and sexuality that are merging together. And it's truly, I truly do see, just being in the industry, I do see this as being a movement. And it's going to be a very beautiful movement, because yoga has paved the way, meditation has paved the way, and learning spirituality has paved the way. The only part of the self that still remains taboo and unexplored is actually our sexuality.
Absolutely, which is a perfect segue to erotic touch and talking about erotic touch, defining erotic touch, and I'm sure it's different for everyone. I will just ask you, how do you invite folks to define erotic touch, and also what are the benefits of exploring this type of touch? I would love to hear.
Yeah, sure. So my definition of erotic touch is actually learning how to make love with your hands. Because what I realized is when we learn how to give the gift of touch, it actually becomes a completely new language. And what happens to the person who's receiving it, there's a lot of perhaps anger or tension and so many things that get released from the body. And for couples, I realized that this is such a perfect way to explore this beautiful language of touch that most of us have never learned how to explore. In fact, I never saw our hands as pleasure tools until I started learning about erotic touch. And prior to learning this, I was so nervous about especially touching penises with my hands, because I didn't know if I was doing it right, if I was hurting them. I was just too nervous about the whole thing. I couldn't understand where this nervousness also was coming from, but I was just very uncomfortable. And I realized that this is an actual skill that unless you're comfortable with it, you're going to be nervous when you touch someone. And massage is a great example of this. Not everyone knows how to give a full body massage, let alone a genital massage. And during my journey, I realized that you can't grip a circumcised penis the same way you can grip an uncircumcised penis, because there's so many sensitivities in that skin that if one time I did grip a guy the same way and he said, ouch, 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 you're hurting me. And I said, okay, so I really, really need to learn how to give this type of touch. And Carl Jung has this amazing quote, which says, often the hands will solve a mystery that the intellect has struggled with in vain. And this is so true, because there's so many benefits. And one of the benefits is our body actually learns how to relax into pleasure, which is such a foreign concept to most of us. Because when we're going through the process of arousal, we actually work our way up to an orgasm. Whereas an erotic touch, because you're just laying there and receiving this type of touch, your body actually learns how to feel all the subtle sensations that your partner or whoever is giving this type of touch to you, which is such an amazing tool or an amazing experience, because we don't get to feel our bodies that way. And what a beautiful gift to just lay there and relax and just enjoy all the subtle sensations. But the beauty about this is you just never know what's going to come up, because we hold so much tension and so much trauma and so much pain in that part of our body and our genitals that sometimes, yes, it could be incredibly erotic and sometimes it could be tearful. You just never know. And when I was learning this, this was also in Thailand. And when they were doing the demonstration, the woman who was receiving this type of touch had an entire array of emotions in just one session. She started by moaning. Then she started by yelling. Then she started crying. Then she started laughing. And then she had an ejaculatory orgasm.
Yes.
We were all in shock. We're like, what just happened? This is like, that's not even sexual to us. That's not even eroticism to us. Mm-hmm. And yet there's just so much inside our body and inside that area that just needs to be explored. And a lot of times it could just be as beautiful and sensual as just an erotic massage. Mm-hmm. You just never know. And everyone does say, set an intention. And I always set an intention, but sometimes your body takes over, because our body, as you know, has its own wisdom.
Yeah, it's like, I heard your intention, but I want to go this other direction. And then you follow it. I think that's the other thing for folks is when the head gets in the way, that, you know, the mind head, not the penis head, when it gets in the way where yes. We were kind of set on a certain trajectory, a certain path, how things should go, instead of really slowing down, listening to what the body actually is saying. And maybe we had an idea that sex was going to look this one way this time. And then the body is, you know, but we bypassed the body instead. If we really listened and went on this open exploration, I imagine your erotic touch then is not goal oriented. It's not orgasm is not the destination that we're trying to get to. It's about presence and just listening and a slowness, I would imagine, as well.
Yes. It could be fast. It could be slow. It just depends. You literally just go with the flow. It's a dance. Yeah. Sometimes it could be a slow dance. Sometimes it could be a fast dance. You literally just go with the flow. And that's the beauty of it. Just like you said, there is no destination. It's all about the journey.
Mm-hmm. And I like when you mentioned uncircumcised penises to circumcised penises, the touch has to be so different with each. It's also with the case of vulvas, all vulvas are so different. And you may have experienced one that liked something specific before with a different partner. And it's so different from person to person. And that's something that's come up like in my sexuality where I'm like, hey, that's not working for me. That might've worked before and that's okay. But your body's so different from day to day.
Yeah.
And then you have people that are also like, this worked for my last partner. Why isn't this working for you? Because I'm not your fucking last partners. I have a different vulva. Welcome. Meet my vulva. It's different.
Yes, exactly. But this is the type of, like, this is, these are the type of conversations that we need to have when we have a new partner. Welcome. This is my vulva. Let me take your hands on a tour.
Let me show you some things that, and if I don't really know what I like, then maybe we can explore together, or let me go study on my own and then I'll come back to you and share some information.
Watch me study.
Ooh. Spotlight. Yeah. So what are some of the
common... I actually did that to one of my ex-lovers one day. I said, welcome. This is my vulva. I'm going to take your fingers on a tour. And he said, why can't every woman just do that? Mm-hmm. For him, it was such a special experience. And I even said, this is my G-spot. This is what it feels like. Let's put your finger in there. Mm-hmm. And he was just amazed. He was like, wow, no one has ever, he was 46. And he said, no one has ever done this. No one has ever given me, has shown me their body like this.
I think you should do it with like a tour of, I'm not going to shit you, but I just thought about this. To the left, we have our exit rows. To the right, we have the entrance point. And please, all the passengers wanting to exit to the left, just go right here. I don't know. I think that would be amazing.
And should the airplane crash? Here's your life vest.
But this is the beauty of erotic touch. You can get so creative with it. You can have fun with it. It's not about being serious. It's not about any of these things. I'm basically bringing up everything that's possible that may come up. And of course, every touch is going to be different. It's almost like, you know, doing a plant medicine journey. Every single journey is different. Mm-hmm. It's never the same. And erotic touch for me is also, is also the same. Every single session is very different. And actually, one of my favorite things is, like, let's say for couples who have been in who have been married for a long time, there's just days when our bodies just don't want sex, but we want to connect. And this is such a beautiful way to connect in a very deep way, because touch is just, again, it's like the best language on the planet for me. And it's a language that you don't need to learn. Everyone can speak it.
Mm-hmm. I am a self-identified touch monkey and a touch addict, and I've totally had partners. You know, if we did the five languages of love, my main language would be touch. Mm-hmm. And I literally,
mine too.
I have a hard time hearing my partner or anyone I'm intimate with, and when there's not touch. Like, they could say one sentence and without touching me, I'm like, okay, here. And then they could say it while touching me, have a hand on me, or just some sort of connection. And my system goes, okay, there you are. You know, I can really feel you. And not everyone is this way, right? Not everyone, you know, touch isn't their primary language. So I'm not saying that everyone needs to be that way. And there's just another example of how we are all different. I want to ask you the question though about the common mistakes that people make when they're touching. You mentioned a little bit about, we kind of covered a couple of them, people really being really set on things happening a certain way. What are some of the other mistakes that people make when it comes to touch?
Not doing it with awareness, being too mechanical, being incredibly nervous like I was, because then your kind of hands, there's no strokes, there's no variations, there's no finesse to anything that you're doing. And it's really not being able to read your partner's body when you're giving this type of touch. So presence and awareness is really everything, because when you're not there, and if you're doing it mechanically, if you're doing it, let's say, without awareness, bad touch is like getting a bad massage. Mm-hmm. When you go in to get a massage and you come out of there with more pain than you went in with, then it totally defeats the purpose of as to why you went there. Mm-hmm. And those are usually the common mistakes that I see. A lot of times it's just in the beginning, the people are just nervous. And I understand that, because I was one of those people. Mm-hmm. And this is why I decided to kind of make the video course specifically just for that reason, is to teach all the different hand strokes that are possible when you're giving erotic touch.
I'm assuming checking in is really a nice way for those that are giving touch to also connect with their partners, to be like, is this okay? I will say though, sometimes for me, when there's too much checking in, I'm like, no, just go with the flow. And if something's uncomfortable, I will give you the indicators or let you know. And that's something that I think is important. So it's
it's you're already in this consenting situation with someone because you're touching and you don't have to check in every 10 seconds. I just wanted to mention that because that has been an experience of mine from prior, you know, to being in a partnership. And I don't know if you if you've experienced that, or if that's part of what you also talk about. Consent, I'm sure, is a huge piece, but.
Consent for sure. Because, I mean, yes, absolutely. Especially when people, let's say, go and seek erotic touch professionally. If you want to pay someone to get this done, then consent is a huge part of this whole experience, because there are a lot of people out there who are, their intentions are very skewed. And I even wrote an entire article, which I'm happy to share if you guys want to include this, of all the different questions to ask when you're seeking this out professionally. Mm-hmm. And please don't ever Google erotic touch and find someone on Google, because that's the worst place to find someone who is professionally doing this.
And that was my therapist. I use Google as a therapist all the time. What like the worst.
Sadly, there's a lot of charlatans in the space. So if people are looking to get this done professionally, I highly recommend to be extra cautious, just because there are people who are simply doing this for their own personal gain. Mm-hmm. And their intentions, again, can be incredibly skewed. And I was in a situation like that before, and I don't want anyone else to re-experience that, especially if it's, let's say, someone who has experienced pain or trauma before. It's going to reignite the trauma, because it's going to be a very distressing situation. Mm-hmm. But so it's always nicer when you can actually practice this with a lover or someone that you really trust, because this type of touch is, you really do get into a space of being incredibly vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to trust the person who's giving this type of massage.
Please share that with us and our listeners, that document with what they, you know, want to look out for and what they should consider. And I know that there are a lot of different types of erotic touch and different kinds of yes. things that maybe folks can tune into or ask for if they don't know what exactly the different varieties are. Can you just touch on what the different kinds of erotic touch are?
Sure. So there's like caressing, there's stroking, there's tickling, there's squeezing, there's tapping, there's soft touch, there's firm touch, there's slow and erotic and sexual touch, there's a little spanking can also happen. There's just so much, there's variety is the spice of life. And especially when it comes to this type of touch, it really, you can, again, get really creative with it. You can play with it. And those are the common varieties of different types of touch.
Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast is made possible by OMGS.com. OMGS is a research-based online program that teaches you all about how to pleasure the pussy. OMGS studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm, and then made tasteful and inspiring short videos to show you techniques on how to pleasure yourself or another vulva. I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's changed their lives.
So for all you vulva owners or vulva lovers out there who may already be having good orgasms and you want to take it to the next level, or perhaps you want to explore more variety in your playtime, OMGS will have something just for you. With two seasons, one all about internal and the other all about external techniques, it's better than any book or DVD money can buy. To learn more, visit omgs.com/shameless. Our listeners get $5 off. Check it out.
This podcast was also made possible by Uberlube. It's a luxurious silicone lubricant great for all kinds of sex. It's less likely to throw off the pH than most other lubes, and there are hundreds of doctors who recommend Uberlube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks who are experiencing dryness. You never knew lube could be this good.
So whether you're an avid lube lover or you've never used lube before, Uberlube is right for you. It has no flavor, no scent, and feels absolutely amazing on the body. Uberlube has endless uses. I use it to tame my hair frizzies, to prevent chafing, and I even put some in my mouth right before an oral sex session, and it totally ups my blowjob game. Oh, and the bottle, it's gorgeous. It's totally discreet and looks more like a beautiful cosmetic product, so you can even leave it on your nightstand shamelessly.
To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com. Use code shamelesssex and you get 10% off and free shipping. That's uberlube.com. Go check it out. And now back to the show. One thing that I've experienced, I think we've talked about it on an episode here probably. I had a session with a woman who, I forgot what she, she was on our podcast, Natalie. She was like one of our early episodes, like episode 14 or something. Yeah. And she did, it wasn't just vulva massage. It was like womb clearing work as well. But through this session with her, and I knew her before this too, but it was just, I just felt like so safe and, you know, just so held by her, but she was touching my outer part of my vulva and she's touching my, my labia majora. So the puffy tissue, the puffy lips, not my, mm-hmm. my little skinny lips. And she was kneading them as if it was like
kneading.
My shoulders. Yeah. And I was the first, yeah. I was like, no, this is amazing. Like no one, you don't see that in porn, you know, no one will ever had ever be like, hey, I'm just going to give you a vulva massage and not try to, you know, get you off. And when you come from that place, the possibilities are limitless and there's so much pleasure. And I felt the same like therapeutic pleasure that I would feel as if I was getting a really great massage on my entire body, but it could be on my pussy. And that was mind blowing. And now I can tell lovers like, hey, I kind of like a little kneading on my labia or so, yeah, there really is. I mean, you gave a, you know, abbreviated list of all these different types of touch, but there's so many opportunities, but people are the options, but people just think there's this narrow thing. You diddle the clit, you stick your fingers in and yeah, no. April's shaking her head. She's like, ow.
No, but, and this is the beauty, right? Because you get to explore the inside and the outside of the vulva, as well as it's not just the head of the penis. You get to explore the shaft. You get to explore the perineum. You get to explore the balls, like everything. And kneading is actually something that I do on a scrotum. And for some guys, they actually have a lot of pain in the scrotum. They're carrying a lot of pain in the skin. So some guys will feel pain in the beginning, but then it will eventually turn into pleasure once we knead out everything that needs to be kneaded out. And some guys will immediately feel incredible pleasure. And the beauty is, especially for men who have never been touched this way, I can't tell you how many men actually experience tears when they get touched this way, which has been something incredibly surprising for me. To also witness, and I'm so honored to be able to witness that because it's so beautiful to just see men in that kind of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And of course, when I first say that this type of massage, everyone thinks, oh, it's a happy ending, but it's a very different kind and form of happy ending because, as we mentioned earlier, there is no goal. It's all about feeling the little subtle sensations that you have that you didn't even know you could feel. Mm-hmm. And that's really the beauty of this type of giving and receiving this type of touch is because there are just, it's limitless, as you said earlier.
And so the list that you explained earlier, I mean, are there other specific techniques that you would, I mean, because this is an abbreviated version. You have a lot of videos and a lot of things online that people want to learn more, but do you have any other techniques that you would want to share with our listeners?
The most important technique would be to learn how to touch with presence and awareness. Mm-hmm. That's the most important technique because once you can hone in and you can kind of see in terms of the person who's receiving this type of touch, as soon as you learn how to read their body language, you immediately get a real-time response of what you're doing. Is it feeling good? Is it not feeling good? And you're able to kind of change pressures or change the type of touch that you're giving them. It's really just presence and awareness. That would be my number one technique to tell the listeners. If they want to go and learn more, then this is why we made the courses, because it really is just, this is one of those like visual things where you have to see it to learn it and to practice it. It does take practice. You're not going to get it in the first couple sessions. You're going to get comfortable in giving this type of touch in the first couple of sessions, but a whole new world just opens up. Or as one of my girlfriends says, my garden just opened.
I love that. Yeah. Blooming.
So that is good. My garden just opened, just was watered and flourishing.
Yes.
So obviously, and I don't want to assume anything, but I will just say that I'm assuming the most erotic places that people believe they could be touched are the genitals, perhaps. For a lot of folks, that's a very sacred space.
Yes.
However, I want to ask you or invite you to tell us and the listeners, where are the most specific erotic zones to touch on a human?
So inner thighs is the
anus.
Common one. Yes. I was going to get to, I was going to leave the best for last.
Okay. Good.
I was going to leave the best to last after I mentioned the perineum. For some people, the perineum is a very beautiful erogenous area, the inner thighs. For some people, it's the front of the neck, the back of the neck. But again, I don't want to set any expectations for listeners, simply because, as going back to what we discussed earlier in terms of we are all wired differently. For some people, it could just be the back of the ankles, or this very beautiful smooth skin that's on their arm. You never know. But yes, in terms of the genitals, it's really the beauty of giving erotic touch is that you get to explore all of it. Mm-hmm. There is not just one part. And this is the beauty of it. It could be internal, it can be external. It could be, like you said, when the lady was kneading the outer lips, you would never think to ask her something like that because you have never touched yourself that way. And this is the beautiful part about this practice, is you could get so creative with it and the options are just endless. But yes, the anus is definitely an incredible part, but not everyone is ready to go there. Yeah, so you really have to ease them into wanting to be touched that way, because for a lot of people, that's a no-no.
And lube helps with any touch, yeah. Some specific parts of the body.
I actually love oil.
Yeah, you're an oil, like a coconut oil. Oil or what do you?
Coconut oil. Coconut oil is my favorite, but I also do make other recommendations like avocado oil or almond oil, simply because a lot of women have told me that coconut oil for them sometimes causes yeast infections.
Yeah. That's so the one that uses oil for some vulvas. Yeah. Have you used Uber Lube though?
Uber Lube?
No, you don't know about Uber Lube.
No, what?
It's okay. We'll see. Maybe they can have, I don't know if they ship to Bali.
I don't know.
Do you have a mailing address in the States? Because we'll have them ship you some.
Is it natural? Is it all organic?
It's not. So it's a silicone lubricant. But the thing about silicone lubricant is that people are like, oh, it's silicone, so it's synthetic. But it is a natural. It's the most common ingredient in the earth is actually silicone. And isn't mm-hmm. silicone from like sand, right? Mm-hmm. Or something. So anyway, I could be wrong about the sand part. But it doesn't have any additives. It's just
extracted deep within the earth core.
No. Yes, from the earth's budding garden. But it's really silky. It doesn't get sticky. It doesn't have any weird additives to it. It's really body friendly. It goes in and out of your body, and your body just doesn't really absorb it. And it does have a little vitamin E in it. And so, yeah, look up Uber Lube. We are diehard fans. I've been a fan for over 10 years.
Change your pH if you're sensitive.
Wow.
And it actually, what I love about it, and they obviously, we love them. They are one of our sponsors as well. But like, because we love and believe in them.
Oh, we hunted them down.
We hunted them down, and it doesn't last for, like sometimes, especially with anal play, you'll have the oil, or I've used oil before so many times, on your skin for days after, even after a shower. This dissipates after a while. So it's a really wonderful, it's a wonderfully made item, and it's really great to use if you don't want it to be there forever.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Well, I actually love seaweed, but it's very difficult to find. It's not, you can't always find it. And this is, I actually learned this in Japan because they use it for neuro massage.
Oh yeah, for neuro massage.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so they put it all over the body and they glide from body to body, mm-hmm. and that's also like that can definitely be incorporated in erotic touch as well. Yeah. It doesn't just have to
it's
be
almost
with
like
the hand.
That gel. It looks like a jelly almost. Is that
the actual seaweed?
Yeah.
I think it's
made from seaweed. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like a gel
it's
material.
Kind of like an aloe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like an aloe vera. It has,
I've used it.
It has a very similar texture to aloe vera, I would say. I love. And I'm always incredibly natural. If it has like chemicals, I just wouldn't use it. But I am going to check out the Uber Lube.
Yeah, if you're like, I can't pronounce that, then I don't know if I want it in my body. I did this thing with my partner a while ago. God, a while ago is probably like a month ago, but I don't remember. But really, it was recently. And I'm like, we've been dating for a long time. Nope. I was going to give him a massage. And so he was completely naked. I was completely naked. And I oiled up his entire body. And I was using my entire body to massage him, which is kind of like neuromassage, right? Your whole body. Rolling.
Mm-hmm. Gliding.
Gliding. And, yep. Yeah, using, you know, my breasts mm-hmm. and my forearms. But what I mm-hmm. also did was I got really creative. I'm silly and playful. And I was like, I'm going to put and he can handle a lot of pressure. I'm going to put my entire body on your body and almost pretend like there's hot lava all around and my body actually can't touch anything other than your body. And so, my whole body, and then I was using my entire body to massage him. So then also I was like, my heels were massaging into him. And then I was using my ass to grind into him and massage him and doing all these things. And I could use my whole body to roll up and down. And then I could provide, you know, more pressure. And it was just really like a fun, playful exploration that was, you know, a form of erotic touch that, again, most people wouldn't think about. Oh, I'm going to play the hot lava game and put my whole body on you. And he loved it. He was so into it. He thinks I'm funny. Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. And he thinks you're probably very sensual and very creative, because this is the beauty of sexuality, right? There's just so many varieties.
Yeah. And that, varieties that just came endless. To me in that moment. I didn't study that. I didn't read that. It was just like when I was present with what was here, and I was like, huh, let me try a thing. Are you into it? Sure. And then it actually ended up being a really, really cool experience. So yeah, I just want to recommend to people, like, I think the last podcast we recorded with someone, she's a Dr. Nan Weiss. She was talking about play and how important play is. And I would imagine when we're talking about erotic touch, if you're taking it so seriously, I have to do it all right, be fully just in my most sacred, serious self, then where's the fun? You know, add fun and play.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
I think that's awesome, Amy. Thank you for that visual too.
It was like, you want me to do it to you, April? You want to play the hot lava game, Chip?
Maybe my back is killing me from tweaking at the gym. I don't mind. You can hot lava me. So I want to talk about, because honestly, in the years of my work in the adult toy industry and the pleasure products industry, this zone that we think of as, or I've been talking about and knowing it as the A spot, is something that comes up. People talk about it. They ask me questions about it. And I won't tell you what, I can later, but before I ask the question about what is the A spot, which is the question, I just want to know exactly what that spot can do and how to access it and all the things, all the juicy information, because I want to know if I hope I gave the right information, but I tried to learn years prior, but I wanted to hear about what you know about the A spot.
I think our experience is very similar, because as soon as I found out about the A spot, I was like, oh my gosh, another spot. It's like, we're like leopards. Every time we think we have it all figured out, we just grow a new spot. And I started doing my own research with my fingers inside to kind of, there was not that much information. And I don't know if there still is on Google in terms of where the A spot is located. What is it? I know from giving a lot of yoni massages that for many women, it's actually a very, it's a very beautiful area where a lot of energy passes through there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will say that. But for what I discovered was, I actually flew to Malaysia to meet the doctor who, quote unquote, discovered the A spot. There's, I mean, a little fun side note is that a lot of our spots are actually named after male doctors.
Just, the Christopher Columbus spot.
Yeah. So is the A spot named after that doctor? Is
Dr. Chua Chi An. Yes. So I wanted to go and meet him in Malaysia, and I flew and I wanted him to find my A spot, because I wanted to see, because from the location, the way that he describes it is right behind the G spot, the mm-hmm. smooth on the top wall of the vagina. It's the smooth area right behind the G spot. And I kept putting my finger in there, and I had a lover put his finger in there, and he massaged it while I was aroused, but I wasn't feeling anything there. But I said, go a little deeper. And as soon as he went a little deeper, closer to my cervix, that's where I felt the most arousal. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, so maybe it's a whole area. Maybe it's not a spot like the G-spot is. But to me, even the G-spot, it's a whole area, the front, the middle, the back. It's an entire area. It's not just one spot. And when I met him, I wanted to learn more about his research. I wanted to actually see if he can find my A spot. So he tried, and usually where he normally massages women is, in his research, they actually have an orgasm within under 2 minutes. Whoa. But I also realized that in his study of 200 plus women, the majority of the women were experiencing what he calls chronic vaginal dryness. So as he was telling me the story, and as he was telling me in terms of like the sample size and what he was able to discover, I realized that if the women were experiencing chronic vaginal dryness, to me, this means they're not very, it could be because they're not very sexual, or the sex is incredibly unsatisfying with their husbands. And just a lot of the, I mean, every woman in his study was Malaysian. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the cultural programming was also taking play. In my mind, while he was telling me this, I'm not saying this was just my theory and my observation, that perhaps now that somebody is touching them in a way to give them pleasure, and maybe the why they were experiencing orgasm very quickly. And these were all just some women, not all women, but he said a lot of the women were experiencing orgasm. So to kind of answer your question, it really just depends on the vagina and the vaginal canal, because until today, my sensitivity is not where he describes it. It's a lot deeper than where he describes it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that it can't change. I'm not saying maybe with a different position, I may feel some sensation there, but just on my own exploration, it's not where he describes it.
Which is, I always thought when I did research over the years, of course, Google as my research guide, deep research, which I love research as well. I did postulate that it was near the cervix as well. And on my own body, it feels like it's there, and it's like lubricating, it produces more lubricant than my G-spot does. However, it's not a thing that's like not a switch that you can turn on or off. And only certain fingers in me at certain times can really help with that. But I would say in terms of almost an agreement with how your body works too, that it would be closer to the cervix than it would be behind the G-spot. Of course, yes, everybody's so different.
Exactly. But I also know one thing about me. Like, I know I have quite a few girlfriends who can think themselves to orgasm. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people. I actually need to be touched. I need to be caressed. I need to be kissed. I need all of those things to be able to experience pleasure, mm-hmm. and for my arousal to actually come out and want to play. Whereas in his research, he said arousal is not necessary, because in the videos that he took of women, when they were having an orgasm, so I was under the impression that when we go through the arousal process, or even as women, if we're feeling any kind of arousal, that our entire body, especially like the clitoris and the outer lips, the inner lips, everything engorges. And in his study, nothing got engorged. Hmm. They just had an orgasm just from that spot. But I was like, and maybe because I'm just so in tuned with my body, that I realized that a lot of like the wetness that my body produces doesn't even come from a certain spot. This is just arousal liquid, which is very different than, let's say an A-spot orgasm that I have felt from giving yoni massages to other women. It doesn't have the consistency of the arousal liquid that our vagina produces. Mm-hmm. It's a different type of liquid.
And I wonder about that study too, if those women in the study, is their first time also touching without having to touch back. You know, there's not the pressure to perform.
Yes.
There's not the pressure to give. That makes a big difference. People haven't experienced that. A lot of their sex is about the other person, mm-hmm. their pleasure as opposed to yours. And you finally have this experience. You're like, oh, it's just about me and I can just relax here and I don't owe you anything. And I think people can access pleasure a lot faster often when that's the case.
I'm actually so happy that you mentioned that, because erotic touch is exactly that. When a person is receiving, there is no obligation to give back. Mm-hmm. Your entire purpose is just to receive, because this is for you. This is the gift that for you. If someone is that, and that's actually the intention that I now go with, is I'm just going to give this person the gift of touch, and whatever this person experiences is going to be their own experience. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of just really relaxing into pleasure. There is no obligation to give anything back. Mm-hmm. And yes, that could perhaps be, there's so many reasons as to why those women felt aroused just from that area. And one of those, I think, is very well likely that was a reason as to why. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to really study the spot because the Malaysian government shut him down because it was too controversial. So he only, I think in a study, it was only 279 women or 289, somewhere under 300.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my experience too is, like, from my body, I can say, is that the deeper inside of me you go, the more warm up and time I'm going to need. And it's not like, I mean, talking about that study where he's just like, oh, in 2 minutes they had an orgasm, when I was deep inside of them near the cervix, or even just behind the G-spot, inside of me quickly is just not going to work. So,
but yes, exactly. For me as well, because our body is not warmed up yet to receive a finger inside. Because what happens when we go through the arousal process on a penis, we can see the penis going through the entire arousal process. The same thing happens in our vulva and our vagina. Our canal becomes longer and wider to comfortably accept something inside us. And when we don't allow for that to happen, and this has happened to me as well, I've actually experienced incredible pain because I didn't give my body the chance to go through the arousal process. Mm-hmm. And I realized, I mean, it took me years to realize my entire body after sex completely shut down. And I had this burning sensation right at the entrance of my vaginal canal for 3 days. And I couldn't figure out what was happening to me. And I fell really deep into depression for like 3 days. And it wasn't until I learned about this term called vaginal tenting, where we have to give ourselves the chance for our vagina to go through the arousal process to comfortably accept something inside us, just to put something inside us. It actually can feel incredibly intrusive. Mm-hmm. So your body just shuts down.
It's like our human bodies are almost like the vast oceans. There's so many undiscovered parts. And think about the female clitoris, for instance, on the bits of your vulva that we never knew existed. The wishbone theory that came out when in 2003, finally, after...
Yes.
It's, I mean, we only discovered that 16 years ago, 17 years ago now.
2010 was when it was finally in textbooks, and that we actually saw it. Well, so the idea is that they did kind of know about it before, but it wasn't widely published until 2010. So, like, people who did sex ed trainings in 2006 didn't know that. It wasn't in their trainings, but it wasn't until 2010 that came out. But they did know about it before. So, Emily, what's Nagowski told us. But anyway,
My only point for bringing that up is that I think with the A spot, there's more research that's required, and it seems like that's a treasure trove that could be unlocked with more research and more funding. And unfortunately, since the Malaysian government shut it down, hopefully there's folks out there that are interested in discovering more pieces about the human body, specifically those folks that are vulva owners out there. So I think that's awesome. Yes.
So, but more importantly, I think it's so important to be in tuned and not allow others to tell you what you should feel and what spot should feel good for you. I actually, after this entire research in terms of the G spot, the A spot, the P spot, and all these spots, I'm like, screw spots. we just need to call it either the E spot or the W spot, the everything spot or the whole spot. Mm-hmm. Let's just call it one thing, and let's just tune into our bodies to see where we feel pleasure, because that also changes on a day-by-day basis. So one day, yes, I may love having my G-spot stroked. And another day, it may feel really bad to me. It may actually feel painful and I don't want it. So instead of just spots, I mean, sure, it gives us kind of a map to know where things are. But at the end of the day, I also feel like for some women, it actually also creates a certain expectation. So like if I know a lot of women who put pressure on themselves to experience female ejaculation.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't happen, they feel like something is wrong with them. And I don't ever want any woman to feel that way. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of magic actually happens when we're just relaxed. Mm-hmm. And this is where a lot of creativity is also able to come in, is when we're completely relaxed. Mm-hmm. When we're actually making ejaculation the goal, then that's another goal that we're chasing, mm-hmm. to have an orgasm. And our body actually we have that exact opposite effect, where we create tension in our body versus just that beautiful expansion of relaxation where everything is possible.
Amazing. I would love for our listeners to know what spot they can find you in or at, because I'm sure people are going to want to reach out and learn more.
Sure. So my website is called confidentlovers.com. All of my social media links are on there. My YouTube channel just launched earlier, actually last year now, in 2019. So there's plenty of information on there. And the Erotic Touch video course is also on my website. So they can read more about that and watch the trailer.
Watch all Christina's spots. Okay. You are absolutely fantastic. I love your energy and just all the information that you're putting out there, I think is so relevant and needed. So much love and appreciation to you, Christina, for sharing all of your gifts with the world and with us and our listeners. To our listeners out there, we love you so much. And remember, if you enjoy wine or you want to enjoy wine and you're not sure, check out marginswine.com. It's limited release, beautiful wine. 2 times a year is all you get with those. And go to marginswine.com and you can be on the mailing list to find out when the new releases are available. We love you. We love Christina coming to us from
Bali. Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure to speak to you ladies and to share. I love these conversations.
Me too. You're beautiful. We love you, Christina. All right, y'all.
And so are you. And thank you so much for all the work that you guys are doing. And I love the name of the podcast, Shameless Sex.
Thank you. It is, for sure. Well, we'll see you all next Tuesday. Ciao for now.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.